God bless you, man.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I love you.
You guys can take your seats. Thank you so much, and I really do appreciate Wes. Your kind words and your encouragements, and the reason why I appreciate it is because I believe you. I genuinely believe you. And every word's true, and I believe that because of the relationship we have, and I know you can see directly into my life, and I love you, and I love each and every one of you. Pastor Janet, you are amazing. I love you so much. Today I turned up and there was coffee and there was a bowl of soup because she cares for me, with celery and carrots, garlic, onion, so on and so on, a big bowl of soup, and it was eat. Okay. Just like a mum. I feel loved here. I really do. This is the last day of my trip. And I just want to touch on a few things before I get into this. And I have to be completely honest. I've just noticed the clock there, which brings me a whole level of peace. Some evangelists don't like the clock. I do. Like, yes, there's a clock. But I just want to say thank you to hello to everyone at home. I hope you enjoy this service. But I just want to touch on some things. The BGEA, the God Loves You Tour, I've just been to one. I was just an attendee with thousands of other people that came through Liverpool. And I want you to know it was mind-blowing. They do it big. And they do it godly. They do it well. I want to encourage you, if you can, to get to it. Every now and then a ministry comes through town like this, puts something on and draws the people and they lift up Jesus. So because I've been, I can give you a little bit of a rundown of the schedule. Because you kind of go, how long is it going to be? And is Franklin going to preach for 6 hours? 20 minutes. He's going to preach for. And it's going to equip you, encourage you. He comes out. His voice doesn't go over this loud. His decibel just stays like this. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't run up and down like me. He just stands there in front of the pulpit and delivers the truth. And you know what happens? They were... They were running to the altar, running, weeping, giving their lives to Jesus. Get involved. Take someone with you. If you can't take someone with you, I'm being pastoral. Go yourself, be equipped, and come back and teach someone. It'll be amazing. Tonight is my last service before I go home. I've been on a bit of a journey in the last 28, 29 days. I flew from Manchester to London, London to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to Melbourne, Melbourne to Brisbane, Brisbane to Auckland, Auckland to Christchurch. I go from Christchurch to Sydney, Sydney to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to London, London to Manchester. It's amazing life. It really is. I used to dream about doing that. It's amazing. It's difficult. It has its... It's troublesome times of traveling a lot, but I want you to know tonight... It's going to be an amazing night. Daniel Hagin is one of, just because he's my favorite, doesn't mean he's amazing. But he's actually one of my favorite ministers. Just to give you an idea, he's like this tall. He's a gentle giant. He hugs you and it's like Jesus hugging you, correct? He's a wonderful man and he is such a strong man in the kingdom.
I think we need to lean that a bit closer.
There we go. Yeah.
Just needs to go a wee bit more like that. Yeah.
There you go.
It's just not picking you up properly.
There we go.
There we go. I just like touching your face.
To be fair, I was quite enjoying it myself. I dropped this box down the back of my shirt and to put it into my pocket, and I did it rather awkwardly so Wes's hand would come up the back and help. And it did. I've just processed out loud. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, tonight is going to be an amazing night. I process out loud a lot. It gets me in a lot of trouble. If my wife was sitting next to me, every now and then if something weird, or at least what I deem Stuart as being weird, is going on in the service, my wife will just sit there. Janet, you're going to love this. She'll grab my hand and she'll whisper in my ear, Andrew, you don't have the ability to whisper. Because I'm like, what's that all about? Where's that in the Bible? Oh, I've just said that. The preacher's like, anyway, filter, what's one of them? Okay, so get to tonight. It's going to be an amazing, at least it's my last service before I head home to my wonderful wife. The one of you, there's my wife. I married up, so everyone tells me. That's rather encouraging, right? You married up. If any of you are struggling to believe God is real, she married me. You work that one out. She's a woman of faith, I can assure you. So I have a message I want to share with you. And before I do, I want you to know that God will get to you what God wants you to have. Actually, I've just seen this come up in the corner of my eye. I'm releasing an evangelism tool in the first quarter of next year. And this tool is interactive by nature. It's all godly, don't worry. It'll really encourage you. If you want to receive that, it'd be easier for me to just put it on Instagram than fly over. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, and I will put that in and you can just use it. It's very interactive. It's all scriptural. It's all of truth. So if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, do it. I'll give you a thumbs up at the end of the service, or at least on the flight home. Say thank you. And it will help you. It will help you win souls. It will actually help you become wise. The Bible says he who wins souls is wise. And I want to help you win souls. Okay? Amen. So just keep that up for a couple more minutes and then pull it down. So I have a message that I want to share, but before I do, I want you to know God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. He will get to you what you need. Not always what we want, because I have a few wants, and to be fair, I'm not even going to pray about them because I just want what I need. God, give me them. Give me them, Lord. Give me the things that help me glorify you, because some of my wants might actually distract me, to be honest. I'm being completely honest. Some of the things I want could actually be a distraction in my life, but God won't give me the things that distract me. He'll give me the things that impact me to live a life unto him. So God, just give me whatever that is, whether I don't get another thing for 12 months. It's not the God that I serve. He's normally here in the presence and he helps me every single moment of the day. He really does. But I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. And for those who are watching on the live stream, I just want to look a little bit more carefully into your eyes, and I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. Even right now, he's speaking through me to tell you that he loves you and he has not forgotten you. He's going to get to you the things that you need. My wife, I've been married now for 12 and a half years. I met Jen in church. Good place to meet your wife, right? I met Jen in church. And often I ask Jen to tell me her testimony. Jen, just tell me again, and we share stories. And I just want to know how my girl came to Jesus. Like, it just impacts me. My wife has big blue eyes. And when I look into them, I can just see Jesus. And then when she tells me her testimony, this doesn't happen, but it's like her eyes move like the world. It's like the gorgeous big blue eyes. And I look into them, and she tells me the testimony, Ruth. And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. But my wife said, Andrew, I can't remember whether I was 12 or 13 when I gave my life to the Lord. And that's been kind of something that's frustrated us somewhat. Not on a daily basis, but, you know, every now and then a thought comes to my mind, and it'll be like, how old was I when I gave my life to Jesus. Anyway, we were talking about that. We had some friends come and stay with us from the Awaken Europe team. They would come and spend a couple of days at our house a couple of times a year, 3 or 4 times a year. And as they were leaving, they were on the core team of the Awaken Europe team. And as they were leaving, one of the staff members said to me and Jen, "Have you ever had an angel knock on the door, on your door?" And I have to be honest, right? I believe in angels. I believe in them. But when she said that, I went, "Here we go." Like, I believe in them, but when someone says they're going to knock on your door, I'm a man of faith, but that just seemed a little far-fetched for me. I'm going to be vulnerable, right? Isn't that how we empower people, by being vulnerable and truthful? I'm just being vulnerable. I didn't expect an angel to knock on the door, and I have, and I still didn't. 6 weeks later, Jen and I are coming home from the shops in November. It was raining. It was dark. It was cold. It's England. Some of you think I have a funny accent, don't you? I want you to know, I think everyone in this room does too. And we're two or more in an agreement. Okay? So even if the message sucks, at least we're in agreement about our accents, and God will command a blessing right there in that unity. So this angel, I think, bang, 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 knocks on the door. Big 6 foot man, like Daniel. Daniel, you're going to meet him tonight. Please come. It's going to be epic. This man knocks at the door, and he's standing there. My wife's pulling out all the shopping. The kitchen's got all the shopping in. And I see him, massive, standing at the door like this. And he had a HelloFresh apron on. You know HelloFresh? You know that food you sign up for and you forget you signed up for, and it just keeps turning up. It keeps turning up at the tune of $120 a month. And it's like, who can I give this to? Can't eat it anymore because I'm eating pot noodles. Who the heck wants organic chicken delivered to the house when you can boil a kettle in 6 seconds? I'm eating pot noodles watching HelloFresh come to the door. Anyway, so I invite him in because I think he's a Muslim, okay? I don't know why I thought invite him in because he's a Muslim. Like, you invite anyone in, right? So I thought, he's a Muslim. Get him in. Get him in. So come in, come in. Shut the door. And he walks in with his apron, this big, under the lights, with a clipboard. I kid you not. I wish my wife was here to come up and share this because it involves her. An angel knocking on the door, someone said 6 weeks prior. On his name badge, his name was Michael Emmanuel. As God, hey, listen. God doesn't just live in the UK, you know. I can't come here and tell lies and he doesn't hear me. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's like, oh, he doesn't hear what goes on in New Zealand. Like, it's the truth. Michael Emmanuel, Angel Michael Emmanuel, God with us. I'm like, oh my days. I said, hey, are you a Christian? He said, I am. I said, you'll have to excuse me. I thought you was a Muslim. He said, I was. I thought, well, he's not an angel, of course, but hey ho. I said, what happened? He said, well, a number of years ago, I'm starting to learn. I used to try and give precise dates to my wife. I'd sit down. She said, you were 6 years off. Why are you giving precise dates? Just give a days about so. Some months before he became a Christian. Sorry, he became a Christian. And then he died in a car crash. So he was a Muslim, denounced his faith, came to Jesus, spirit-filled, on fire, died in a car crash. A lorry tipped him up in Amsterdam, and it landed on the roof. He said, the Lord brought me back to life in the morgue. In the mortuary, back to life. Where am I? This man moves powerfully. He's a Christian. He started to. I'm like, hey, bro, this is amazing. And my wife's a bit more, like, wise and godly than me. So Jen's like, just putting the stuff away, just listening from a distance and just seeing what sort of mess her husband's about to get us both in. You know? And she's like, oh, yeah, okay. Then Jen says, well, what was heaven? He went, and I went up to heaven. Jen said, what was it like? And in that moment, the atmosphere changed for the good. You could see Jen just softening. It was like this man started to radiate. Now, please, don't Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying he started to elevate off the floor. He didn't. But something in that moment, it was like he was. It was a strange thing. His feet were firmly on the floor, but in the spiritual realm, it felt like he was elevating. He said it was amazing. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. And then he started to pray. I've already signed up, so we'll get that out the way. And he starts to pray. Remember when I said to you, God will get to you what you need? And you remember I said to you, my wife, for many years, over two decades, wanted to know how old she was when she gave her life to Christ. Michael, Emmanuel, hello freshman, 6'6", in my kitchen, just goes like this. Thank you, Father. Thank you. He said, Jen, you was 12 when you gave your life to Jesus. He said, you know why I'm telling you that, don't you? Oh, my days, my wife lost it. I was like, Michael, you're our best friend. We've got three empty rooms in our house. Pick one. Come and live with us. Bring your family. This is the best thing. Why am I telling you this? Because God sent a man who works for HelloFresh named Michael Emmanuel to my house to rip me off with HelloFresh, but to deliver a word. HelloFresh is great, by the way, and there's other food outlets out there that you can subscribe to just in case this is going out live, okay? It's amazing. And God brought a man. Forever, my wife will now know how old she was. God will get to you what God wants you to have. You haven't missed it. The boat's still here. Get in and let's set sail. The boat is still here. I want you to, by the end of this service, I don't want anyone to be worrying. I don't want anyone to be anxious. I don't want anyone to feel inadequate. Bible says, do not worry. I'm going to read some scripture to you. It's from Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? It's Matthew 5, verse 25. We're on 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I read a translation once. I'm not sure what translation it was. But it did say, can any of you, by worrying, add a single smile to your face? That's a good one, right? Worriers don't smile. Have you noticed? How can any of you, by worrying, add a single smile to your face? And why do you worry about clothes? Clearly, I don't. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor nor spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For even the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, what I want to do is, by the end of this service, I don't want anyone in here having any shred of worry or anxiety or stress. Okay, because let me tell you, we do worry. We shouldn't. We do. We hear that people are carrying babies. Sometimes mum and dad worry because of the health of the baby, right? Then the baby is born. We're worried about the labor sometimes. Then the baby goes to school. Oh, look at him. Isn't he so small? He's too small to be going to school. Oh, well, how's he going to be? Then you worry about his friends. Then he gets into secondary school. You worry about his exams. Then he does exceptionally well, and half of you is like, oh, now he's going to go to college and university. We're going to worry again. We worry, we worry, we worry. It's this nature, this nurturing thing that's on steroids. It's like nurturing, slipping into worry. It's like, Johnny, Pastor Janet gave me a cup of Banoff soup full of goodness. Not because she was worried, she cared. She was in control. Worry would deem her out of control. She was in control. She could see a need, live right standing with God, and control the need in the Lord, going, he just needs some soup. Where worry would have Pastor Janet stressed out of control, and the need me of wanting soup was now controlling her life. That's the difference from worry and concern. Concern, worry is concern on steroids, illegal steroids in the kingdom. We are not called to worry. Worry controls you. Concern is an outstretched hand. How can I help you? And these are the difference. Worry, do you know what the definition of worry is? Very simple. To be torn in two. That's worry. And we must not worry. So I want to give you a story. And I want to share to you a real life story that happened to me. Because I want to be a minister that doesn't always tell you guys how to do things. Because sometimes us evangelists, we can come in, we can blow through. Most certainly not the ones Pastor and Janet would invite, and that doesn't mean just because I'm here, because I know them and they weigh things up. But they can come in right and they can tell you everything you're doing wrong. You know what you're doing wrong, and so do I. I want to know what to do right. There's a difference. It's like, you can tell people that they're doing things wrong by telling them the right way to do it. We want to do things right. So if people are doing things wrong, we just tell them the right way to do it, rather than saying, you're doing that wrong, do it like this. So what I want is I want each and every one of us to leave this place uplifted, edified, and built up in the Lord. So I want to share with you how I got it massively wrong, rather than massively right. I got it horribly wrong. I left the rehab. For some of you who don't know, I was a cocaine addict, alcoholic, self-harmer, living on and off the streets. I met the Lord 12 years, 10 months ago. January the 21st, 2010, the Lord delivered me. Suicidal, manically depressed, full of scars, all sorts, messy, messy, messy. The Lord delivered me in a moment. Touched me, baptized me in the Holy Ghost, filled me in fire in a dining room in a house in a little industrial village by where I live. That's the power of God. I'd never been to church, never heard the gospel, didn't know the tomb was empty, didn't know mum and dad, didn't know any of these people, didn't know anyone who could tell me the truth, didn't know anyone. And I said, Jesus, if you're real, save me. And the hands of God touched me. Purged 9 years of addictions out of me instantly. People say, it was a wonderful moment. His hands touched me, purged 9 years of addictions out of me instantly, baptized me in the Holy Ghost and in fire. And in fire. And out of my mouth came a heavenly language. Check this out. Just imagine this for a moment. Cocaine addict, alcoholic, self-harmer, suicidal, manically depressed, tormented. 9:15 a.m. 9:16 a.m. The complete opposite. 1 minute. Praying in tongues. Check this out. Just imagine. Never been to church. Never hearing the gospel. And imagine this. I was the very first person I ever heard praying in tongues. Could you imagine? Could you imagine never being to church, never hearing anyone praying in tongues, standing in a dining room in a small house going, trust me, it felt strange but amazing at the same time. I'd never heard it, and the Lord delivered me. He delivered me. And then I left rehab in September 2010, and then I applied for a job in Range Rover that October. A friend of mine told me Range Rover were taking people on, so I applied for a job. I had a telephone interview, and I passed that, and then that got me through the door to do a physical interview, practical stuff, processes, putting magnets on cars and sequences and remembering colors that went past. Doddle for me. Easy. That was right in my mix of ease. Like, remember 25 colors that go past? easy. She want to ramp it up to 70 just to make sure I get the job. Them kind of things help me. Like, analytically, it's cool. So yeah, I passed the 5 tests. And as you're walking out, Ruth, like the lady who was doing the test, she was like, and I'm like, got the job. You know, when I've got my favorite coffee, I was like, put 3 shots in, kid, we're partying. We're going, we're celebrating. It's great, right? 3 shots of coffee instead of whiskey. Glory to God. Thank goodness for that. We're partying. Go large on the cappuccino. Make it a double. Like, it's crazy how life just turns around, right? So I knew I had this job. I knew it. And do you know why I knew? Here, thumbs up, and God spoke to me. God said to me, you've got that job. I was like, I know. Thank you, Lord. So God's told me I've got the job. I've just come out to rehab. I'm renting a house. Life's going great. God told me I've got this job in Range Rover. I didn't hear anything for 2 weeks, so I ring them up. I said, excuse me. He said, it's Mr. Cannon here. I came for the induction. And I just sensed that I did quite well. And, you know, that was kind of the attitude of your staff, that I did quite well. I said, I'm just wondering how I got on with the job. She said, oh, yeah, we're still interviewing people. Well, that didn't fill me with any peace. Well, how can you be interviewing people when the job's mine? In my head, I'm saying, God's told me. I didn't say that down the phone, I have to be honest. Because it meant click and move to the next person, you know? Got a weirdo on the phone. So I left it another week. Me and this poor lady, we were on first name terms now. I said, hey, she went, it's Andrew, right? I said, it certainly is. I said, this job, like, what's happening? I need to make plans. God's told me, just rest, it's yours. God himself told me the job's mine. And I'm badgering some woman. Tell me. You'd think I'd just sit in the park, right, and just count the sparrows and enjoy the time off. Couldn't tell me. I thought, I'm going to give her 5 more days. I'm going to ring back. So I rang back. She went, hey, Andrew. She said, I went to see whether you had the job, but the problem we have is the staff that were doing the assessments, they're an agency, and they finished 2 weeks early for Christmas. Who on earth finishes 2 weeks before Christmas? I said to her. She said, our agency staff. I'm like, okay, when am I going to find out? Well, probably the mid-January. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. So I did what I promised myself I would never do, and I went back into construction. Not trusting that the Lord has spoken to you will take you back into places you so desperately wanted to get out of. The Lord will speak to you and tell you, rest, I'm taking you there. And because of impatience and I was torn in two, worried, I went back into a place I so desperately wanted God to take me out of, even though I didn't know he was real. I found myself back in construction, doing the very thing I didn't want to do. My life started to look quite similar and familiar of my old life. I'm doing the things, not sinning, not drinking, not taking drugs. I wasn't doing that. But there were some patterns that were starting to creep back in. Because I didn't trust the Lord that he was taking me here, I went back here, leaning on my own understanding. So I find myself in construction. How did I end up in construction? Because I rang my cousin after about 5 times of ringing the office clerk. I had an epiphany. I thought, my cousin works in Range Rover. I'll just speak to him. I said, Phil, cousin Phil. I said, do you still work in Range Rover? He said, I do. I said, amen. I said, I need your help. Bearing in mind, God's already spoken to me and told me the job's mine. I said, I need your help. I said, I need you to get in that office. That sounds quite Christ-like, doesn't it? See what I'm saying? When you start drifting away from the sheep, the shepherd. Start hearing voices and instructions from a different spirit. Conniving as a believer. On fire, believe it or not. I thought I was. So Phil, this is what I need you to do. I need you to get in that office. And I need you to find out whether I've got the job. No problem, he said. He rings me back up. He says, I can't get in the office. It's locked. I'm like, oh, my days. This is doing my head in. But God spoke to me, right? The job's mine. I should just relax. So he gets in 2 days later, and he rings me up. And in the UK, we have like a mess. We have like this like little thing we would say if we're about to bring remotely bad news. We'd say, don't shoot the messenger. Do you have that over here? So when someone says that, instantly, I'm already loading the gun. I'm like, where is he? Don't shoot the messenger, or we'll find out. You know? Like in my head, he says, you don't have the job. I mean, what do you mean? He said, you don't have the job. I said, Phil, now listen to me very carefully. You know my surname has is C-A-N-N-O-N and not C-A-N-O-N. Yeah, I know that. I said, have you seen my name? He says, it's here right in front of me. I'm reading it. Andrew Cannon. You don't have the job, bro. It crushed me. Don't worry, it's getting better. Everyone's like, oh. It crushed me. It didn't crush me that I didn't have the job. It crushed me because I was concerned of what voice I'd been listening to. Because it was that same voice that told me I had the job. It was the same voice who said, come to me when I gave my life to him. So I started to question, who have I given my life to? Because clearly God is not double-minded, unsteady in all his ways. And the same God that I heard come to me when I gave my life to him, it was the same voice I heard that you have the job, and it crushed me. So that's when I went back into construction. Doing the things I knew I shouldn't do. Putting myself back in into a toxic place. In a place I so desperately wanted to get out, I find myself building a company in it again. In the wrong place. So I'm there up the scaffold, and I was a steel erector, and I've got a harness wrapped around me, and I was doing it. And I'm up there, and my phone goes, I can feel it vibrating in my pocket. It was awkward to get to because I had a harness on. And it's Jen, my wonderful wife. Jen wasn't my wife at the time. She said, have you checked your emails? I said, no. She went, you've got the job, you know. I went, I couldn't have. Ah, Phil told me. Bearing in mind, God told me I had. You see, I'm siding with the world now. I said, Jen, I can't have the job. Phil has told me. I'm saying I can't have it because Phil's told me. But God said I can, and I have, and it is mine. So I come down, and I grab my phone. No signal. Oh, my days. I'm scrolling my phone like a two-stroke engine trying to start it. Like, nothing. And I'm like this. Everyone thinks I've lost the... Well, it's hardly surprising why they thought I'd lost the plot. And I'm going around a site like this, and then ping, there's the email. Congratulations, Mr. Cannon. We'd like to offer you a full-time employment. Your starting date is on the 21st of March, 2010, and your starting salary was, I don't know, something like $65,000, $75,000. Yes! I knew it! After I said, I knew it! I knew I had that job, clearly. Strapped to some steel in the middle of Manchester. I knew it! I knew you'd come through. I thought, give me that phone, where's cousin Phil? So I ring him like a peacock, all me feathers out. I ring him, I went, hey, Phil. Bearing in mind, Phil, non-believer, worldly, lovely man, my cousin, lovely, nice lad. I ring him, I said, hey, Phil, do you know that job you said I didn't have? He said, yeah. He said, you don't. I said, I do. And I knew I had because God told me. Do you know what he said? If God told you, why did you call me? A non-believer telling me, if God that I don't believe in tells you, the God you do believe in, what the heck did you call me for? Worry. The definition of worry is to be torn in two. To be torn in two is an extremely hostile witness to an unbelieving world. When God speaks to you, God will do it for you. Now, some of us want the instantly, the suddenly, the immediately. I'm kind of that ilk. I want the suddenly, I want the instantly, I want the immediately. That's kind of how I roll. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I know God can do it right now. But if he doesn't, he's not the problem. Okay? See, some people say to me, oh my days, Andrew, it was wonderful how you had your instantly. I had my instantly on the back of a 9-year process. Addict, suicidal, self-harmer, 9 years. I had my instantly on the back of a 9-year process. Am I saying God took me through that process? Absolutely not. I don't think God wanted me to cut myself for him to expose his love, okay? I don't think that for one second. And if anyone wants to think I'm theologically sound, I'm not unsound with that, I won't listen. God did not want me to cut myself over 60 times and plunge a knife in my chest and try to kill myself twice so he could show his love to me. God showed me his love even despite I was so far away from him. So why am I saying this? Because I don't want any of you to worry. There's something glorious about righteousness and confidence in the Lord. Because for so long it's God can heal, but will he? Sometimes God does not heal the physical body. That doesn't mean we should presume he's not going to. We shouldn't say sometimes God heals us here on earth and sometimes he doesn't. Let's not pray. That's not, we should never do that. I know I have lost 5 friends in the last 2 years, all ministers of the gospel, on fire for Jesus, on fire. Feeding programs, orphanages, apostolic centers, on fire. They are healed. They're just not here. So I'm saying we should never, ever doubt God. Believe in him, but the best way to believe in him and feel comfort from him is know that he knows best. You see, because our ways is that everyone stays here with us. And his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So I don't want you to worry about your jobs, about your children, about your marriage. If your marriage is in tatters, be concerned. Don't worry. Be very concerned. If you're not productive in your job because of the things that you do, be concerned. If you're not loving to your neighbors, be concerned. I don't want any of you to be worried about me, but I want every one of you to be concerned about me. What does that mean? Well, if you are worried about me, it's going to affect you more than me. But if you're concerned about me and you pray for me, it's going to bless me. I want everyone to be concerned for one another. Hence, ban off soup. Eat. I'm a little run down. I've been running for 29 days. I've been all over the place. Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, Brisbane, Melbourne, Auckland, Christchurch, Rangiora, all of these places. I love it. Concern. Not worry. concern builds us up. So why am I saying this? Because I don't want anyone to worry. And we do. We worry. I wrote something down in my notes, so I just want to read this because I don't want to get it wrong. If we believe that God is sufficient enough to take us to heaven, we have to believe he's sufficient enough to get heaven to us. Concern is a legitimate problem. Worry is a problem that starts controlling you. I don't want you to worry. And it's so easy to worry, right? It's so easy. It tells us here in Matthew 6, do not worry. Do not worry. Can I just ask you to do something if you're willing and just put your hand on your heart, on your chest, and say this, I will not worry. I will not worry. Amen. So I go for the job. I start Jaguar Land Rover. March 21st, 2011. And I go for my induction and they take 127 people on at a time. Oh, I missed an important notice, an important thing. Phil did indeed read Andrew Cannon. What you guys don't know and what I certainly didn't know is there wasn't one job. There was 900 jobs. And it was 53,000 application forms that went in. That's why they were slow, Ruth. They were taking on a whole new shift so we could work through the night. 900 jobs, 53,000 application forms. There was a number of Andrew Cannons who applied for the job. My cousin, of course, run goes right down, sees an Andrew Cannon and presumes it's me, right? He didn't go on to look at the date of birth and the address and the national insurance number. He just seen Andrew Cannon. Well, that wasn't Andrew Cannon, bless his heart, and I hope he's well. Because he never got the job. Probably had the same amount of faith of me in that moment too as well. But there was another list. There was a couple of Andrew Cannons on the rejected and one on the accepted. Not that they're rejected in the kingdom, it just wasn't their time to get that job. You understand me? So I go and have the induction. And there's 127 people in the room because they were taking them in groups of 100, 100, 150, 127, so on and so forth. And he was a supervisor named Chris Powell. Great man, he ended up being my boss. And he walked in, didn't know him, had no idea who he was. And he walked in, quite monotone, quite rigid, just walks through. That was his sound, to be fair, he sounded like that. And he stood there, with a clipboard, he didn't look up. And he would say, Hayden, you're fitting the bumpers. Ruth, the wing mirrors. Janet, the seats. Wes, Wesley, the windscreen wipers. And he would go down and down and down and down and down without looking up. Without looking up. And he got to Andrew Cannon. He said, Andrew Cannon, who is Andrew Cannon? I thought, here we go. He said, Andrew, you've been given a dynamic road test. I had no idea what that was, but it sounded much better than Wes's job. He's putting window wipers on. I've got the dynamic road test. Well, do you want to know what he said? Leaning in, and everyone's now looking at me because he said, who is Andrew Cannon? So I have this opportunity. He says, one of two things has happened here. As he's looking down, and he looks at me like this, Pastor Wes, and he says, one of two things has happened. He was perplexed. It transpired that when I got in the factory, I realized that my supervisor wanted the job I'd been given. You needed 25 years of service just to apply for that job. I came out of rehab with very little faith. God's big, right? Despite our worry. He says, one of two things has happened here. Either you are a relative of the CEO, or you've had a letter from God. I went, funny you should say that. I jumped up and I said, my name's Andrew Cannon. I said, I'm a born again believer. God delivered me from cocaine and alcohol and self-harming. And I promise you, I heard the voice say, you haven't signed your contract yet. I started to worry again. Honestly, I could hear it. In the middle of the proclamation, Jesus loves you. You haven't signed your contract. Nah, 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 nah. I went, if anyone wants prayer, come and see me. And sat down. Do you see the enemy wants to shut you up and make you disbelieve God at every opportunity? I got the job. I got the best job in the factory. And the enemy's still whispering in my ear. Shut him down. This is what I want to do. I want to finish here. And I want you to know that God loves you. I will make no apologies for the excitement I have up here and for the joy that is in me, because for 32 years of my life, it was dark and depressive. And I'm not that person anymore, and I will not dig him up. We're called to raise the dead. I will not raise that one up. He can stay there because he's no good. He's ungodly. He's not Christ-like. He's selfish. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's an alcoholic. He's a self-harmer. He's a cocaine addict. And he's a conniver. Good riddance to you. This one has not got it all worked out, but knows a man who has. His name is Jesus. And I love him. And I want to give you in this room, on day 28 of my 29-day trip, are you worrying? Do you not know Jesus? Can we have the worship band up? We're going to end this in the next 5 minutes. I want you guys to know I'm always like this. I'm always caring and wondering what people are thinking. I endeavored to finish this message 5 minutes ago, but I guess I got myself a little bit excited in the Lord. So please, I want you to know I have not taken advantage of the platform. No, it says 9:10, so I have got a bit more time. This is what I want you to do. You coming up? I would love to walk you up here. I've missed my sister for so long. This is what I want you to do. What I want you to do. I did it. I did it 12 years ago. But this is what I want you to do. You, whoever you are. I want you to know that Jesus is here and he loves you. And he wants you to give your whole life to him. He guides you. He speaks to you. He loves you. He cares for you. He brings wonderful people into your life. And he wants to pour in truth. Push out the lies. He wants to pour in light. Push out the darkness. He wants to pour in divine health, peace, joy, self-control, so we can stop doing those things we know we shouldn't be doing. Jesus is here. And I want to give you an opportunity for you to give your life to him. I did, and if I can be completely honest, I had no idea who I was giving my life to. Pastor Wes, I didn't. I'd never read a single scripture. Pastor Janet, I had no idea who he was, and I took a chance. A chance. 40,000 souls later, that chance has paid off. Faith, risk. Faith, reward. It's a battle. It's a risk. It's stepping forward, one foot in front of the other, and saying, I don't know it all. Join the club. I have a gold platinum membership in the school of not knowing it all. And I use it every day. I go with what I know, hoping to be added to in wisdom and in knowledge and in peace and in joy and in strength and accounting all of the things. But I started with nothing and gained everything. With nothing. I was 55 kilos, I think, in weight. I was so thin. My spine, you can see the bones. My pelvis stuck out. My nails were yellow. My teeth, my eyes, my hair. I was a mess. And he touched me and he changed me. Forever. So much so, about 2 years later, my mother banged on my home door because I was no longer homeless. She banged on my front door and she walked in shaking. My mother, never been to church, shaking. And she said, Andrew, I said, Mum, what's up? Ruth, she was pointing at me like this, but it wasn't that point. It wasn't the point of you stole money out my purse again. It was a different point. Her finger was slightly more crooked. Rather than like that. It was a more relaxed point. Honestly, her finger was like tungsten normally, but it was like this. A more relaxed point. More endearing. She said, you've left me with no choice. I'm like, oh my days, what's happened? She said, you've left me with no choice. I said, what's up, Mum? She said, how do I give my life to Jesus? Pastor Wes and I were saying, it really isn't about what gets said on this platform today. It's about the presence of God and people wanting to receive Christ. I can give a fine example of that. I said to my mother, as an evangelist, I said, right, Mum, what have I said? What have I said that has brought you to this conclusion? She looked so confused. She went, nothing. I went, well, she said, oh, no, son. She said, I know who you used to be. And look at you now. God must be real. God must be real. So this is what I say. Even if everything I've said has landed flat on the floor, Jesus is still lifted up high. Everything I've said makes no sense to you. He makes perfect sense. If everything I've said has no life on it, he is life. If everything I've said doesn't sound like it has any love in it, he is love. I'm here endeavoring to represent him, but I'm not him. I'm not him. He is him. He's the only king and the only Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's above them all. If everyone's able, I want you to stand to your feet. Guys, look, let's just stay in this place of excitement and fun, of peace and of joy. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, can you bless your socks off? Can you change your life right now? And can you come forward right here? And I'm going to pray for you, your brother from Liverpool. If you want to give your life to Jesus, and if you want that fresh start, I ask you to come forward and receive Jesus. Amen, my brother. Come here. Well, I came for you. I came here for you. Amen. Salvation's in the house. Jesus. Jesus is in the house. Salvation is only found in him. So if it's only found in him, he's here, right? Clearly. Is there anyone else, while we're here, is there anyone else whose life needs to be changed and they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Welcome home, buddy. Welcome home, my man. Bless you. I came here for you. Stand there, bro. We're not going to rush. This is just come forward. I'm not going to rush. Hey, bless you, buddy.
Thanks.
God bless you, my man. I came here for you. God's saving the best till last.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Is God touching on your heart and you want to give your life to Jesus? Because you're sick of worrying, sick of doing things on your own, and it's failing and failing and failing. And you have the absence of love and fatherhood in your life. Come forward. Let's do this now. We have 1, 2, 3 people whose life is going to change forever. Heaven is rejoicing times 3 right now. Is there anyone else? Okay. Pastor Wesley, Pastor Jana, can you come forward and just stand here with me?
5-0.
It's this gentleman, it's this gentleman, and it's this gentleman. If you can just lay a hand on them as I pray, okay? Amen, brother. Amen. Guys, look, our families just got bigger. Can we stretch out our hands? We're going to pray. And can I ask, because I learned a lesson yesterday, it's good that we all pray. Because there could be someone in here who didn't have the courage to come forward. I want you to know, that's okay. God is big enough to fill this tent. He's big enough to fill you where you stand right now. If you want to pray this, but I want everyone to pray it. If you're praying it for the first time, know this, today is the day of your salvation. So let's pray. All of us, nice and loud, eh? Let's end the meeting with a bang. Say, Father God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for sending him to save us. Thank you for the blood shed on the cross. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that you raised him from the dead. And I can only be saved through him. So save me, Jesus. Today is the day of my salvation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, guys. Let's give it up for Jesus. Do not worry. Do not worry. Lean not on your own understanding. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I don't want anyone here to leave. Can you come forward? I want to pray for you. You just turned around.